Lisa Sherman. Please remember to
subscribe. Good morning. I'm Karen Curtis, and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. We're here each Sunday at 11 a.m. in South Florida, and I'm joined, of course, by attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs, PA. Eric is board certified. He's bored. And he's board certified by the Florida Bar in condominium and plan development law. The firm has offices in Fort Lauderdale and satellite offices in Orlando and Tallahassee. We're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA or a co-op absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. And we'd love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condo and HOA questions, no matter where you are in the state. So give us a call right here in the studio, toll free, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com by clicking on the email the show tab.
Hey, good morning, everybody. If you're a fan of the show and like to read our blogs and newsletters, just make sure to go to our website at condocrazeandhoas.com. Join our email list, because by joining each week, you're going to get announcements about the show, our blog, our free seminars, our newsletters, updates on the law, and a lot more. Tomorrow's blog topic, again, every Monday, we do a new blog topic at hoa-condoblog.com. Again, hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's topic, confusion reigns in condo elections as a result of the new eight-year law. So definitely want to read the article, and I hope that I cleared up some of the confusion, but I actually think I might have complicated it even more. But you'll know tomorrow. But I just want to thank everybody who sent in those wonderful comments about our seminars last week. They were very much appreciated, and I was happy to put them on the air.
And you have to travel to Tampa this week for another one, right?
Yeah, certainly do, Karen. Friday we will be at the Convention Center in Tampa. Love going to the Convention Center in Tampa, by the way. Pretty interesting, because believe it or not, that's where I actually took the Florida Bar Exam in 1992. So who knew that on the day I was taking the Florida Bar Exam, that one day I would be teaching hundreds of people there, right? At, you know, some 25 years later. It's great. And great town. Love Tampa. We have a mob lined up for this
Don't
Friday.
Say that.
I can't say mob. I forgot. Right. Yeah. Hey, by the way, Karen, very interesting situation this week in Broward County. We've been talking about the right to put up political signs.
Yes.
So
you're in your condo or HOA.
Yeah, right. Yes, exactly. I get sent a video this week of a guy. Okay, I'll call him an extreme Trump supporter. No two ways about it.
Okay.
Right? Two ways about it. Extreme Trump supporter. Okay. Signs all over the place. So the HOA, actually, I saw the video. The HOA calls the police. Right?
The police
And the police didn't want to get involved. Right? The police, should they get involved? Shouldn't they get involved? Well, the HOA says, yeah, but it's our trees. He can't put these signs and hang them on our trees. And he's like, well, if you want to take me to court, take me to court. You know what the HOA did?
What?
Rather than, you know, take him to court, they were so outraged by the Trump signs, they cut down their own trees.
Whoa.
Yes,
whoa.
They cut down their own trees, and now they're in trouble, apparently, with the code enforcement for the county in which they live. So you want to talk about, yes, he went to extremes, but then the board and the anti-Trumpers went to the extreme of literally cutting down their own trees so that he doesn't have the right to put up Trump's sign. He's like, keep cut down all your trees in the community. I don't care. I'm going to poster my house with Trump signs all over the place. So, you know, people are just nuts.
That's an amazing story.
You have to see the video.
I will.
He's like, he says, whatever you can cut down all the trees in the community, I'll still keep putting up signs. And like, and we'll keep cutting down the trees. And we'll, you know what? Honest to God, I can't wait for this to be over. No matter what happens, I want Election Day to just come and go at this point, because it's getting to the point where
not the community association election.
No. Right. Exactly. I just want these midterms to pass. You know, I don't remember as a kid. I really don't. Turning, you know, the channel, and every single commercial leading up to Election Day.
Yeah.
Is you know, is connected to the election. There's no products being advertised in the year anymore. It's all just about who's running for office, and almost none of the ads, unfortunately, talk about what this person can
do
for you.
Not very informative, right?
No, not informative at all. And both parties are to blame. It just needs to end. This is not doing good for anybody. But how about we take our first call of the day, and we go to Joseph in Hollywood.
Hey, Joe.
Hey there.
Hey, Joseph. How are you?
Doing well. Nice to hear you guys on air again, like always on Sunday. Love to listen to you guys and comment, and I have a very specific question today.
Sure.
We have a cooperative in Hollywood, Florida, and, you know, would changing the bylaws to allow limited common area in a cooperative now. This isn't an HOA or a condominium. This is a cooperative property with only 12 units, but there's a small plot of land that's common. What should the community be aware of, the board of directors be aware of, when they change the bylaws to offer limited common area behind a particular unit that's obviously in a, you know, a proprietary lease kind of apartment arrangement? What kind of things would you give a heads up to a board in terms of using those limited common areas, not only to put up your election signs, but fences, air conditioners outside?
And maybe I don't understand, Joe. I apologize. Are you converting one type of property from another?
No. This is an existing cooperative. Unfortunately, like the election signs, we have an issue with fences that have been put up illegally by the former vice president and president. And now the town got involved in, because they pulled the permits or didn't pull the permits and got violations.
Oh, these are people that just did this on their own?
Yeah, they just took it upon themselves without asking permission, without getting a vote from the board or getting a vote.
Oh, sure. Yeah, this happens all the time.
Thing them in the butt.
Yeah. This happens all the time. Sometimes unit owners will, in a condo, same thing in a co-op, they'll basically commandeer what's common property and act as if it's limited common property, that it's only theirs. And what that actually is it's a change to the common elements. So that fence that was put up, for example, or anything that they've installed of a permanent nature on those common elements,
right.
What they did was, under the statute, they made a material alteration. So as we know, the material alteration law now requires, I know the guy that actually drafted that statute, right, says that you have to now take that vote before it's made, right before that material alteration is made, and typically it requires a 75% vote. So these unit owners that made these changes, if the association wanted to, the association can file a lawsuit and or an arbitration petition, we'd have to check, and force that unit owner to return the property to the condition that it was in prior to them commandeering it with their fence.
Right, but let's say that they're all in agreement now that they were unaware, none of them ever got certified or even understood and read the bylaws, but they got a light bulb went off and said, okay, let's change the bylaws and let's add limited common areas. What would you give as a heads up as far as recommending how they do it?
Before you do that, interesting, but before you do that, and I don't want to comment without seeing your documents and or the co-op statute, but that type of a change may require not just the vote of the unit owners, it may require the vote of all of the mortgagees if any of those 12 units have mortgages on them. So
no, zero. It's a co-op, things paid in cash.
And so nobody has a mortgage.
Nobody has a mortgage, nobody has a lien, nobody has everything, property's paid off, everything's up to date, the bills are paid.
Okay.
It's just an inconvenience that they woke
sure.
up one day, realized they did something inappropriate,
sure.
and now want to do it correctly without being hostile.
Sure, I'll tell you one thing that typically comes up when you're dealing with limited common elements, and then we'll take the next call, unfortunately. But a lot of times, let's say balcony-type areas or outdoor portions that you're talking about, you don't want a situation where you have, let's say, picture this being a vertical property, right? And somebody's balcony in the middle, you know, starts to go and break. I don't like it when the association is not in charge of that project. In other words, I don't want 12 different times repairs are being made by 12 different contractors to repair someone's balcony. I'd want it done by one expert doing all of them at the time, at one time, at a great rate, for the association with one permit, you know, and one expert making sure that it's done right, rather than have 12 people do independent jobs and really not knowing who's doing a good job and who's doing the right job. And the expense of that, trust me, it's going to go up dramatically if everybody's doing 12 independent repairs rather than one fixed job. So that's something that, again, I'm not someone who's in favor of these limited common elements. You can still draft the documents that the association's responsible for the repairs. So that's certainly one bit of advice that I can give you.
Election signs to be in there too?
I'm sorry?
Election signs on that limited. Could you put election signs on your limited?
If you listen, you guys are 12, you know, your small group, if this is something that you guys agree to, Go crazy. Whatever you want. Nobody can basically interfere. This is what you want in your community. You can do it. As long as it's not violating anybody's constitutional rights, go ahead. Go do it. The Florida Supreme Court basically ruled that way. You get 75% of the people to agree on anything in a condo. Who are we to stand in your way?
But, Eric, you were talking. I looked at the video of the guy with the sign that has trees cut down.
Yes.
One sign said, no more BS, but it was spelled out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, I'm not saying that I'm in favor of him putting the signs up. Of course not. But I just think it's funny. You talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah.
That's what this community actually did, except they did it with trees rather than their nose.
But
no?
It was on his property. How can they cut his trees down?
They're saying that the trees were actually on common element property because these were zero lot line homes. So everybody's losing their mind. But, Joe, I hope we answered at least some of your questions. But the phones are backed up, and we got to take our first break of the hour.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Off to a good start this morning. Taking your calls, everybody. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.net.
Condominium Concepts Management puts your condo's interests first. Condominium Concepts negotiates the best prices and demands the best service from all the association's vendors and providers. There are no kickbacks, no add-up charges, no double talk, and all the savings are passed on to the association. Condominium Concepts Management understands they're there to help, not take control of your association. The licensed professionals work as a team with your board of directors to come up with joint ideas to make your community a great place to live. At a time when every dollar counts, Condominium Concepts prides itself on having reasonable fees, same-day response time, educated personnel, and an eye for reducing expenses for every unit owner. Condominium Concepts can also aggressively collect from the association's delinquent owners. Call Condominium Management Concepts, 772-618-5370 for a free quote. That's 772-618-5370. Learn how Condominium Concepts is helping the communities throughout the Southeast. Visit their website, condominiumconcepts.com.
Tired of the lousy quality and customer service from your current internet and telephone provider? Are your monthly bills continuing to go up while the level of service you receive goes down? There is a choice. Based in South Florida, OpticalTel is a fully integrated telecable company utilizing advanced fiber optic technology to deliver video, internet, and telephone service to condominiums and homeowners associations throughout Florida, all at a great price. OpticalTel has defined itself as a leader within the MDU marketplace, providing fiber optics in your home or unit. OpticalTel covers the entire gamut of video, internet, and telecommunication deployment within the condominium and HOA marketplace. Call us before you sign that long-term bulk contract. OpticalTel is the clear choice for video, internet, and phone from beginning to end. Call 1-800-30-FIBER. That's 1-800-30-FIBER. 1-800-30-FIBER. Or visit us at OpticalTel.com.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. The number to call if you want to talk to Eric about anything concerning your condo or HOA or co-op, 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585.
Hey, Karen, are you as outraged as I was this week at Senator Warren?
I think you have more Indian in you than...
It's true. I actually checked. I ran a DNA test, and it turns out I'm related to Chief Matzo Ball. Yes, the first Jewish American Indian, absolutely
stands with fists.
Right. I mean, could you imagine that?
Chief Matzo.
She actually thought she was doing the right thing. She was proud of her DNA result. 1/1024th.
Wow.
It's like hard to believe, you know.
Well, the Chippewas weren't too upset. I mean, I'm from Michigan. I went to Chippewa Middle School. I'm like from the area.
Right.
So I must have more than that.
Of course. Well, the average American has
I went
more
to Chippewa
American
Middle
Indian
and I have
does.
High cheekbones, so therefore.
There you go. And your mother said one day, right, that she complimented you on your cheekbones. But can you imagine a senator actually doing this? And then when the results come out, she actually makes a video about it, thinking that she actually, you know, won this issue by having a 1/1024th, you know, relation to Indians in her heritage. It's hard to believe that she actually did this and, you know, took it to this extreme. But if she is allowed to get away as calling herself a minority, then there are no more minorities. That's it. Right. Everybody's a minority. You know, I have a daughter that wants to get into medical school one day. Why shouldn't she now take a DNA test? And it comes back 1/1024th Eskimo.
There you
right?
go. Oh, yeah.
25 generations ago, we go back to, you know, Eskimos. Have her apply as an Eskimo now. If it's good enough for Senator Warren and Harvard University, it's not good enough for everybody else.
Well, we're starting to blur the lines with everything. You can have an X on your birth certificate, and, you know.
It's absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just getting so out of hand, and that's why I said that. I think people are tired of isms, anything that ends in ISM. I think people are tired of anything that ends in IST. And I really do, and I think that's why the midterms are not going to be what the Democrats think they're going to be.
It'll be interesting.
I agree. How about we take John in West Palm Beach? How are you, John?
Yes, that was a definite poor choice of judgment. I don't think that we would want a president like that. And
can you imagine?
As the Homeowners Association.
Right.
Yes, and as far as the Homeowners Association, I guess they never heard of a tree warden before. But
right.
As far as my question goes, is there a way, when you have a lot of renters in your condominium community, is there a way, if they're chronic offenders of the rules, not just one or two, but, you know, they constantly speed through the neighborhood, they constantly park backwards through the neighborhood, whatever your rules may be, yeah. Is there a way to deny them a renewal of their lease?
Well, yes, the question becomes, what do your governing documents say? And I teach this all the time at the seminar. A lot of times, boards think that they have the right to screen, approve, and reject. Oftentimes, they do not. They don't have that right. They only have a right of what's called first refusal. So the answer is yes, John, if your documents allow for it, and you really need to have an attorney look at your documents and make sure that the renters have to go through the screening process. And it should specifically say, I mean, make it clear, spell it out so there's no fights about this, that if at time of renewal of the lease, the board believes that the renter has not previously complied with the rules, the board has the authority not to allow a renewal of the lease.
So once
no
it's
problem
not
with
once
that.
They're in, they're in, huh?
No, it's not once they're in, they're in. No, that's you can put it again, it's how smart and how technical and you know, how much time you want to put into drafting a set of documents that actually protects the association.
The, when you say the docs, you mean the bylaws?
Yeah, the bylaws and/or the declaration. Correct.
Well, yeah. The trouble with that is, you mentioned 75%. I don't know if that's a state law, but we have in our docs 66%.
Fine, that's even better.
We've gone way over 33% rentals. We have 48% rentals. So there's
right.
No way
so you're saying that people would actually do it?
Change our doc.
Okay.
We are an apartment complex, even though they call us a condominium complex. And in all effect, we are an apartment
then,
complex. So
then there's more than one way to skin a cat. John. What you do is then renters who are not complying with the rules, then you you sue them or you file an arbitration action against them if you have to, and you get an order forcing them to comply or forcing them out. We've done that several times, many times. And if they don't, and once you win that case,
have that legal fee.
Well, again, if you win, you get the legal fees back. You can't, you know, the bottom line is sometimes you have to spend a little to get your community in order. You know,
as long as we can get our fees back, yes.
Yeah, well, the statute allows for it. And what you do is when you win that case, you publicize it in the community. And you let everybody know, look, this is what we did, and we're going to keep doing it. Yeah, as a deterrent, right, going forward. But, you know, sometimes, again, I know attorney's fees associations don't like to spend on. I get it. But sometimes it's a necessary evil. You got to take somebody and make an example of them, win, promote it, and then use that as, a stepping board to going after other people and getting your community in order.
So the renter is bound by the docs.
100%. Absolutely. It says that in the statute. That the renter is just as equally responsible under the docs as an owner is. Absolutely. Okay.
Well, when you said 75%, there is no state law that says.
No, there's no. No. You could be 66%, like you say in your documents. No problem. Okay. Depends what your documents say in terms of the percentage you need.
I mean, it's I agree with you 100%. It's like the broken glass barrier. If you don't, deal with the little things, then totally
exactly.
Out of control, and that's what we allowed to happen. But thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Okay, how about we go to Ron? Ron, I think, is in Deerfield.
Yeah, good morning, Eric. How are you?
How are you, Ron?
Question about trees. The city is telling my HOA, I'm the president of this HOA, that we must have a tree in front of every house.
Okay.
Every tree that we take down, you got to replace it with two trees. We have 388 homes in the HOA. We must have at least 800 to 900 trees.
Okay.
I want to know, does the city have the right to tell someone who owns a private home in an HOA that they must have a tree in front of their house?
Sure they do. Absolutely. And I'll tell you why. When that property was built, that property had a site plan, right? That site plan was approved by the city or the city commission and staff that works for the city. And that site plan required a certain number of trees to be erected and built on that property in order to get what's called site plan approval by the city or the city commission that approved that project. So when one comes down...
We already have it, the number of trees we need.
Right, but
they're adding more.
Are you saying you're adding more, or are you saying people are removing them and they want them replaced?
No. Well, there are some that we cut down because they were invasive trees.
I'll tell you what happened. For example, when I moved into my home, all right? So my home, when I moved in and I'm in Hollywood, was surrounded by large oak trees, and when I looked at the house, I'm like, you know what's going to happen one day? And I had so many surrounding my house. There's going to be a hurricane, and I'm going to have, like, five trees go through my roof.
Exactly.
So, And it was ripping up my backyard, and it was ripping up my front yard. So I went to the city, and I said, listen, I want to get all these oak trees out of here. First thing they told me was, okay, get permission of your HOA. Mm-hmm. So I got permission from my HOA. Went back to the city holding that permission, saying, yep, Eric can remove whatever tree he wants. City said, okay, we're going to let you remove the oak tree, but for every oak tree you take down, right, and oak trees are big. We want a certain amount of greenery, green space. So we're going to make you put up two palm trees with diameters of at least the following.
Whoa, that's expensive.
Yeah, but that's what I had to do. And they will allow that. The city understands that they don't want you to have trees that can cause damage to your property. But we did approve your property with a certain that had a site plan that required a certain number of trees. We want to keep that. We want to keep the properties lush, right? We want to keep it green. So if we're going to allow you to take down one type of tree, we're going to make you put back another type of tree that may not damage your property, but still give you the same amount of green space. And, John, I hope that answers your question, but we got to take our bottom of the hour break. I meant Ron, by the way. So that's Ron, right? So, Ron, thanks for the call. Taking your calls, everybody, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website cdri.net.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo, and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs. And, of course, Eric, board certified, one of a handful of attorneys in the state, board certified by the Florida Bar and Condominium and Plan Development Law. So if you have any questions about your HOA, co-op, or your condo, go ahead and give them a call, toll-free 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And if you have a product or service that our Condo Craze and HOAs listeners can use, why not become a sponsor of our Condo Craze and HOAs radio show? You can have a commercial during the show, have display tables at all of our live events that we do throughout the state, get to meet hundreds of condo and HOA board members, your company's logo and website posted on the Condo Craze website, website and on our email blast that we send out every week, as well as in our newsletters that we send out to tens of thousands of community associations all around the state. To find out more, just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com.
Absolutely. Hey, Karen, we discussed the fact last week that a lot of the brand new laws out there that were allowing directors to communicate by email, but doesn't allow them to vote by email.
Right.
Because in the last show, and we discussed the fact that the association laws are supposed to allow for transparency, right? Just recapping what we did the last show. But this new law doesn't, because the emails by and between the board members, they don't become official records of the association, and therefore the owners aren't allowed to see them. Kind of really bizarre new law. And, you know, I have no problem with board members being able to email each other, but if they do, you know, shouldn't that become an official record
of
the association?
I mean, I can understand if it's an email from me to you, but if it's an email from me to all the board members on one email, that
and
would constitute a meeting, I think.
Yeah, and it certainly seems like decisions are being made. You know, it's not a formal vote, but there's certainly decisions and discussion going on. But, you know, for whatever reason, these emails are not considered emails that are official records open to the association. Now, I caution board members all the time that even though these are not considered official records of the association, remember, attorneys have the power of subpoena.
Oh, yes.
Right? So if you're not going to hand me those records via an official records request, if we're in litigation, Eric's going to serve you with a subpoena, and I can still get those emails.
But if they're not allowed to vote by email, they have to do it in with a quorum in public.
That's right. They got to be right.
Then
can't
they
vote
have
by
to
email.
Refer, per our emails together, we talked about this. Can they just go, let's vote on that thing we emailed about?
As long as it's properly on the agenda, yes. In other words, board members can say, listen, let's go hire Joe the landscaper. But before that actually becomes an official decision, that's got to be properly noticed. It's got to be put on the agenda, and it's got to be voted upon. So you can talk all day long, but you can't make an official decision. Okay, so interesting new law. Let's see how it turns out in some of the arbitration decisions. But I want to move on to something new and really important. I know the phones are like going nuts.
Yeah, you're
but
completely
it's,
full.
Yeah, I know, but I want to remind everybody, and it's really important, about the fire sprinkler and the engineered life safety system issues.
Mm-hmm.
Really important reminder, because and the time is coming close now. Even if you voted down the sprinklers, right, you opted out of the sprinklers, you're still not out of the woods.
So this is more for a condo.
Yeah, right, exactly. But this is important. This affects thousands of buildings in the state of Florida,
okay.
Thousands. So, you know, you may recall that last year the House and the Senate passed legislation. It would have allowed condominiums in excess of 75 feet in height to opt out of a mandatory engineered life safety system. So even if you opted out of the sprinklers, you can still be ordered to install what's called an engineered life safety system. Now, legislation already existed, as you know, that allowed the condominiums to opt out of the sprinkler requirements. So condos opted out of the sprinkler requirements, only to be told that they still have to install now this perhaps even more expensive engineered life safety system. So there's like, wow, how is this happening?
So the House Bill 653 was passed last year to help alleviate the perceived financial burden of an engineered life safety system, but then came, this was your bill.
Yeah, it was.
You wrote it.
Yeah.
And then this tragic fire in London, that in the building, remember, it had that, you know, flammable stuff on the outside. Dozens of people died as a result. That happened the same day that it was on Governor Scott's desk. He vetoed the HB 653.
Exactly. So, you know, he has this piece of legislation in front of him that allows buildings, you know, tall buildings in Florida to vote down this engineered life safety system. And at the same time that bill's on his desk, he's seeing what's going on in London. He's like, there's no way I'm going to actually sign this bill now. Not going to happen. And he vetoed it. And this year there was another attempt made in the Florida legislature to waive the engineered life safety system, and that failed again.
Everyone voted for it in terms of the Senate and the House.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Everyone was in favor of, you know, doing away with it, but Governor Scott said, no, I'm not going to do it, not with what just happened in England. So the bottom line, condos, you're still under the gun. If your fire marshal says install that engineered life safety system, again, you don't have a choice. And if you don't have the money, you better find it. You know, you can't afford the special assessment to install that system. Too bad, you can get foreclosed on.
Oh, the whole building?
Whoever doesn't pay that special assessment.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, and how much would that be, like, say, for a building that's 75 Pete.
Okay, very interesting. There's a debate. So the people that are saying, oh, it's not too bad, it's not going to be too expensive, stop making a big deal about it, it's only going to be about $2,000 a unit, and therefore it should be a requirement. The people that say, no, we don't want it, say we can't afford it because it's $10,000. So it's somewhere between $2,000 and $10,000
a unit.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
And then you got a 75-foot unit that's seven floors.
Yeah, which it could be extremely
and
expensive.
And what is a life safety system anyway? I don't even understand.
An engineered life safety system could be a combination of things. So it could be a combination of sprinklers. It could be a combination of alarm systems, exit plans, certain non-flammable materials. And it basically, the way I understand it, goes by like a point system.
Oh.
And if you build up enough points, okay, now you don't have the sprinklers, but you have a system in place that protects the people that live there. That's the bottom line.
Okay.
And it's too late if you have not opted out of the requirements to install sprinklers.
No.
Too late. Your condo had until December 31st, 2016 to opt out. So beginning January 1st, 2020. It's now only a year away, right?
Right.
January
1st. Oh, my gosh.
Fire marshals, they're going to have the ability to start enforcement proceedings against condos that are not in compliance. So again, if you're a condo and you're in excess of 75 feet in height and you did not opt out, you must install the sprinklers, and enforcement begins on January 1st, 2020, which is just about a year away.
So
this is pretty important
stuff. The sprinklers, would they be considered the full shebang?
Yeah, if you have the sprinklers, then again, you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Then you're good. Absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
But the question is it a good idea or is it not a good idea, right, to opt out of something like this? And what do our listeners think? Was Governor Scott right? Should Floridians be able to opt out of an engineered life safety system and fire sprinklers, right? Should you be able to put the safety of the building, and the occupants at risk if that's what you vote for? Should you be able to vote against these safety measures? Love to know what you think. Give us a call here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. Let's take a quick call before we go to a break. How about Mike in West Palm?
Yes,
how are you, Mike?
Good morning.
Good morning. How can we help?
Good. Can you hear me?
Yep.
First time listener, first time caller.
Glad to have you.
I recently moved into my neighborhood. Thank you. I recently moved into my neighborhood, and I wanted to replace an existing white picket fence that was that borders the back of my property. So I submitted my architectural review. It was approved. And in the review, I stated I wanted to replace the existing fence with a 6-foot shadow box wood fence, just like every other neighbor in the community, 6-foot fence.
Yep.
It was approved. Everything was fine. Said, great. I even went to the city to get a permit for the fence.
Yep.
Most folks don't do that. They just install the fence.
Correct.
And I'll move on. I went to the city. I got the permit, the yellow sticker card thing that the city gives you, that is approved. Great. So I installed my fence as approved. A few weeks later, I get a knock on the door from my property manager. Hey, we got a problem. What's going on? You need to take that fence down. I'm like, okay. It was approved that I wanted to install the fence. What's going on? She stated that it was a common area fence that was removed. But
right.
Granted, this was the same fence that I said I wanted to replace the existing fence with my 6-foot shadow box fence.
Right.
It was approved. So this went back and forth. Then the next contact I got was from the attorney.
Right.
And I'm telling the attorney, okay, let's talk. Can I have a meeting with the board members so I can understand what went wrong so we could try to figure out something? No meeting. No nothing. Going back and forth with the attorney, I'm like, listen, I just need a meeting with someone. Tell me what my violation was. I didn't have no violation meeting, no hearing, no nothing. But here's the kicker. So later on, they end up and came and removed my fence that I installed, that I paid money for, and they threw away my material.
Really? Well,
I saw my fence somewhere and said, hey, come pick it up. It's over here. Okay, cool. But they threw away my material.
Do you have that written authority that the Architectural Review Committee gave you? You still have that paper?
Yes.
Yeah, well,
yes, I do.
Yeah, call me tomorrow. 954-983-1112 in the office. 954-983-1112. I think your association's going to owe you some money.
Oh, but if it's common area, yeah. How does that
yeah.
work?
Yeah, but then they shouldn't have given him that document saying, yeah, go ahead and do it. Go spend your money. Go put it up.
Okay.
You can't have it both ways.
I know you have other callers, but one other thing, you could probably answer this, but just so other people to know. Florida Statute 720. When the HOA is violating that statute of not allowing you to speak at meetings, who can I submit that to? Who can I complain to?
Nobody. Again, because HOAs are there is no agency to complain to. So
no DBPR for you.
Yeah, no DBPR for you. So it's time for you to either potentially go file an arbitration action there, but you can either head off to what's called pre-suit mediation or potentially off to court. But there's nobody actually to pick up the phone and complain to, unlike condo owners. Okay? Thanks for the call, Mike. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow, hopefully. Let's take our final break of the hour, taking your calls, everybody. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225. Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Do you know the state of Florida has implemented new laws requiring websites for associations? And they haven't given you a lot of time to get it done. Good news. There's no need to worry, because the expert team at Easy Apps and its website division of Graphics Plus are ready to assess your needs and build a state-compliant site for your association. Board members, this is the right time to take advantage of digital technology and reduce your workload. You'll be able to increase awareness of community events in real time, save money on printing and mailing of newsletters and other documents, collect monthly dues from members of the community right from their phone, communicate with your management company, post notices and other documents, and so much more. And now for a limited time, Easy Apps and its web design division is offering a discounted price when you order a website and app package, so you can be compliant by the July 2018 deadline. They'll take care of everything and complete the work in time and within budget. Get ready before the rush. Schedule an appointment today at 954-829-2273. That's 954-829-2273. Or visit graphics-plus.biz.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. One phone line is available if you want to give Eric a call, ask him anything about your condo or HOA, any kind of craziness going on. Toll free 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, how about John in Orlando? How are you, John?
Hey, Eric, good morning. I have a quick question about estoppel letters.
Sure.
So I finally sold my troubled condo in North Miami, and I was charged about $400 for an estoppel letter.
Right.
And I thought that in July the law had changed. So what step should I take to recuperate some of that?
Well, I don't have the statute in front of me, but I believe the statute now allows you to charge up to $400 for the estoppel letter. And, as a matter of fact, if it's a rush, that you can charge an extra $100 on top of that. So I'm not so sure that that was an illegal fee. Interesting that you asked the estoppel letter question this week. Why? I had an interesting situation with a client that I represented in Dade County. Just so that everybody knows what estoppel letters are. So when you're selling your house, the buyer of your house, the buyer of your condo unit, wants to make sure that, hey, you're not delinquent in what you owe the association. So that buyer or that buyer's attorney or title company is going to send an estoppel letter to the condominium or to the HOA saying, hey, does this unit owe money? And the association is going to fill out that letter, or the manager is going to fill out that letter, and it's going to say, typically, no, they're paid in full. Don't worry about it. And the letter also allows for other things, like, are there any special assessments out there that remain unpaid? Is there one going on? Well, client comes into me and says, Eric, let me show you what happened here. I bought this condo unit, and the association fills out the estoppel form, and I ask, are there any special assessments pending? And the answer was no. Paid in full, no special assessments pending. I close, and they tell me, uh-oh, we screwed up.
Ugh.
And there's like $20,000 in special assessments pending, and my client didn't realize she had already been paid like 3 months of the assessment. So she's like, I want my money back. I make a long story short, that the statute is right on point. If a buyer relies upon that estoppel letter, and that's why it's called an estoppel letter, the association is estopped, prevented from taking a position inconsistent with that letter. So the bottom line is I made the association aware of what the law is here, and it had like a $20,000 special assessment.
And she wasn't on the
hook for
that? Wiped
out. She was not on the hook. Now, they understood their mistake. You know, obviously, the attorney had to bring it to their attention.
So who pays for that? The rest of the owners?
The rest of the owners. Yeah, that's a mistake on whoever wrote that letter, but it certainly shouldn't be on the person who relied upon that letter now to their detriment. But hope that answers your question, John. How about Lee in Davenport?
Eric,
Haley, how are you?
A couple weeks ago, I was at good morning, Eric. A couple weeks ago, I was at one of your seminars up here in the Orange County Convention Center.
Sure.
And one of the questions I have is regarding the covenants and restrictions declaration. You said that the HOAs would need to renew that before a 30-year end of it. Now, I'm looking at the one that we have here, and actually ours has a what it calls under general provisions term, and it says the covenants and restrictions of this declaration shall run with and bind the land for term of 20 years from the date of declaration is recorded, after which time they shall be automatically extended for four successive periods of 10 years each.
Yeah, not good enough.
Now,
the way I understand that law, not good enough. So you have to take your governing documents and say, okay, when were they recorded? I'm almost afraid to ask you the question. When were they originally recorded?
Well, I can give you the answer. It was the 29th of July of 97.
So you're good. The original documents were recorded in 97.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
But it's,
So that's only 20. Okay,
20 years.
Oh, so you're concerned that they expired because of the, because your documents actually limit them to 20 years, and you know what? You're probably right. You're probably right. There's nothing in the law that says they can't expire before 30 years if that's what they say. So somebody screwed up and let those now expire. So this raises a very interesting question. Okay. What do you do now? And you can probably reinstate. I'm guessing you could reinstate under the exact same provisions of the Murtaugh laws, which this would have been so much easier had you just done it within the 20 years, but now you're going to have to get a vote of the community. It becomes, you know, we didn't plan on talking about it on today's show, but there is a catastrophe that's running through Florida right now. And just to remind our HOA listeners, generally your documents expire if they're not preserved within 30 years. One minute you're living in a community with rules and regulations, the next minute that's it, it's over. Those documents have expired. Now, in John's situation is in Orlando, Lee's situation in Davenport, he's concerned that his documents actually have a shorter period of time, 20 years, and he's probably right. So in order to address this now, a brand new law was passed on July 1st, which requires board members, I can't emphasize this enough, that live in HOAs, the first meeting after your annual meeting, you're going to be required to discuss the fact that your governing documents may, in fact, be expiring. The statute's now going
Good
to
idea.
Require that you at least think about it, that you address it, and the legislature has created a very simplified form that you can use to now preserve your governing documents. If you screw up and you do not preserve your governing documents timely, they've now expired, and you have to revitalize them.
How do you preserve them? What does that entail?
It's really great what they did. The legislature now just made a very simple, basic form that gives you the name of your community, the legal description, how many parcels are affected. You're on and on, a series of about 10, 15 things. You record it in the public records. That's it. You're preserved.
For 30 years more?
Right. Correct. And it's even better than that. Even if you've amended your governing documents now that year, that counts. And that
from time to time?
Yeah, doesn't have to be from time to time, but if you made any amendment.
Got it.
So the bottom line is there is no longer an excuse.
That's
so
nice.
Board members, yeah, and Karen, this is disastrous because if you let the documents expire,
then you got purple garage doors.
Yes, and it becomes incredibly expensive to bring them back. Instead of preserving them, now you have to do what's called a revitalization project.
Oh, boy.
And it is a disaster. So, Lee, what I would suggest you do, give us a call in the office, 954-983-1112, 954-983-1112. We'll let our Orlando office take a look, because that's where you're located, and we'll see if we can help you out and tell you what the next step is. How about we go to Patricia in Deerfield? Patricia, how are you?
Hi, Eric. It's Pat. I'm good. My question is on reserves. Can you waive reserves by a show of hands at an annual meeting, or does it have to be something more formal than that?
I think, and I've seen it done that way, I don't think there's anything specifically that says you can't do it by a show of hands. There's nothing in the statute that says you can't. So I've certainly seen it done that way.
Does it have to be on the agenda?
Oh, well, it's got to be. Actually, you raise
with
a good point.
With big red letters and stuff.
Yeah, well, right. Exactly. Now, good question. Is this in a condo or an HOA, by the way?
It's a condo, and I have a notice of the annual meeting. It's got a date, a time, and a place, and it says refreshments will be served.
Karen, you know what? Karen,
agenda?
Okay. In condos, Karen raised a really good point. In condos, they actually want it to be done, the waiver of reserves, by proxy. And I stand corrected. Why? Because they want the warnings to the unit owners to go out to specifically say waiving of reserves in whole or in part can result in the passage of special assessments. So they actually want the unit owners to sign their John Hancock, sign their name right next to a proxy form warning them of the dangers of waiving reserves. So, yes, I think Karen's 100% right. Going forward, I will. Yeah, thanks for showing me up there,
I'm sorry,
Karen.
Baby. But does it have to be red? It just has to be big letters, right?
Yeah, it has to be on the proxy form itself. So, yeah, Karen's right. Okay, so, yeah, I'd want to see it done by proxy.
So does a notice of a meeting constitute an agenda?
Yeah, I think if it's done by notice, yes. Actually, the way it's done, the way the DBPR wants it to be done, the DBPR wants a meeting to waive reserves, right, to count the votes, and then a separate budget meeting where the board votes to adopt a budget that does not contain reserves based upon the vote of the unit owners at the meeting before.
And when do they send the proxy? Okay.
The proxy should be sent out at least 14 days prior to that meeting.
Where you vote in the meeting. Okay.
Correct. Let's go to Jose. Jose, you got 30 seconds, buddy.
Okay, thank you.
You got it.
Jose
in Carl Springs.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for calling me and for taking my call, Eric.
Real quick, 30 seconds, buddy.
The new law, HB 1237, my president has been in power for 9 years. Can he continue running this year?
Okay, so I want you to read tomorrow's blog at hoa-condoblog.com. And what you'll learn tomorrow is, yes, even if you've served in your 9th, 10th, 11th straight year, no problem. You could still run for the board, right? You can still run. Now, you only get on the board, however, if two-thirds of the people vote for you. Two-thirds of all votes are for you, or there are not enough people that are willing to serve, and you get on basically by default. And if all of that doesn't confuse you, I finished the column by saying, but if you don't have the as amended from time to time language, none of it applies
Never
to
mind.
You. Okay? But read it tomorrow again, www.hoa-condoblog.com. Hey, remember, everybody, if you need legal help off the air, call Glazer and Sachs at 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. I look forward to seeing everybody Friday in Tampa. And to register for our board's certification seminar and legal update 2019 in Tampa, it's going to be at the convention center. Just go to condocrazeandhoas.com and register, and we really look forward to seeing it at really everybody at Packed House this Friday. It should be great. Brings us to the end of another show. Of course, we'll speak to you again next Sunday at 11 a.m. on Condo Craze and HOAs right here on 850 WFTL. Everybody have a great week.
Bye, Eric.